Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
I'm John White.
And I'm Jan Peterzelka.
And it's hot, hot, hot.
Aye, very high, Chihuahua.
Well, we're definitely going into the thick of the summertime with June is historically our hottest month of the year. So I think we're going to kind of brace ourselves in the heat and kind of give you some
mercy
tips for today on how to not just do some water conservation in your yard, but really what to look for, what your plants are responding to these hot temperatures. But before we get to that, there's still some time to go out and visit the Master Gardeners at their booth this morning at the Ardovino's Farmers Market. They'll be out there all summer long having tutorials and talking to people, answering plant questions. So if you're out and about and have some questions and just wanted to visit with Master Gardeners, go out and stop by and visit them at the Ardovino's Farmers Market. And if you're also looking to escape the heat, there is still time to register for the El Paso Community College Home Gardening in El Paso class that is going to run June the 9th through July the 28th, and that is held at the El Paso Community College Valle Verde campus. If you'd like to take that class, it is taught by all Master Gardeners in our Speakers Bureau. And I believe, Jan, you are on the docket.
I am on the docket this semester for container gardening. So we'll talk about some fun things. And it's always a really good recruiting tool for us also as Master Gardeners, because often we'll have folks take that class and and then they turn into Master Gardeners. One of the biggest benefits, I think, in our community is for those folks that are here with the military, and maybe they're only going to be here 2 or 3 years, but they'd like to know how to be successful in gardening in El Paso. So that's an ideal class for them to take.
And in order to register for that class, you can just go to visit epcc.edu or by calling the Master Gardener Help Desk at 771-2354. So go out and get there and escape the heat by taking a class.
That's right. Get under the air conditioner.
Right,
absolutely.
Exactly.
Oh,
well, we know that folks are out and about. Their landscape is greening up. And I was out taking a walk in my neighborhood a couple of days ago, and I saw a wonderful geyser just a popped head of somebody's yard just spraying out into the street. So,
and I'm sure they weren't aware.
Well, it was 7 o'clock in the morning, so
right.
I think it was a little too early for them to notice. But it's a good reminder to put your irrigation system to go on a time that you may be aware, or even just within earshot of hearing any kind of irrigation going on, so that you can be aware of any kind of broken heads or faulty issues within your system.
And you can, you know, if you know how to manually click them on, you can click them on, make sure they are running good.
Right.
You know, just run them
do
on
an
for
audit
a minute or two, mm-hmm. and you know, turn them off.
I was guilty of that just not too long ago. And
yeah, kind of let the water utilities know that you're going to test your system at a certain time.
Yeah.
They'll make record of it, and you can test it without worrying about getting a ticket.
Right, exactly. And it's pretty.
That's a good thought, John. I didn't realize you could do that, because right. I've been guilty, and I have mine come on really early in the morning, especially this time of the year. Of course, not in the winter time, but and I currently have a geyser that needs to be tended to. So, and with the heat, it's really hard on your if you've got the poly pipe like I do, and I'm running some spaghetti tubes off in my front area. The heat gets to those as well and bakes them. And the next thing you know, you've got you've got Mount Vesuvius going on
right.
with water in your front
right.
yard.
Exactly. Well, this would happen to be in the front lawn of in the front yard with grass. So I think somebody just kind of either inadvertently kicked over the sprinkler head or kind of switched it off to a little area where it shouldn't be, and it kind of just took off with that pressure going on. So definitely get to know your sprinkler system. And yeah, those 2-minute run times that they do, you got to be quick.
Right.
But you can certainly troubleshoot a lot of happenings out there. So,
yeah, we have a term here at the mowing crew on campus here. It's called decapitation.
Oh, yeah.
So when the mower takes the top of the sprinkler head off.
Oh, I see. That makes
so
sense.
So you want to check for mower bangs into the sprinkler head. It'll knock it cockeyed, and it may spray the water in a different direction. So you got to turn them on periodically and make sure
check
they are
out.
spraying really where you want them to.
Yeah, no, definitely.
And I think having sprinkler heads, too, that are efficient and that are lower to the ground, and I know there's all sorts of new, you know, new types of sprinkler heads that are out there that are more efficient, especially for this neck of the woods, and consider making that investment to replace those so that you don't have so much evaporation. The water doesn't even get to your landscape because it's evaporating because it's spraying up so high.
Right. One of the rules is you don't want to, you know, change brands. So if you have a sprinkler head that's not functioning well, you want to try and replace it with another one of equal, you know, output and everything, so that you aren't mixing heads and you're going to get all kinds of odd spray patterns and water amounts out there. So you want to try and stay with the same brand if you can.
Well, and going back to that we've talked about over and over again is to put an inch of water on your grass. If you do have grass in your landscape, to do that and make sure that you're not over watering. And that's easy to do if you got a cat, or I think everybody eats tuna fish on occasion, and put those little cans out there and do that test and see how long it takes to get an inch of an inch of water, and then divide that up among your watering days, and it really does make a difference.
Yeah. You'll probably find out during our 100 degree temps and stuff that you'll probably be watering about every 4 days.
Right.
So it's easy twice, sometimes three times a week watering during this real hot period.
Right, exactly. And to do that in the time for it to actually reach that soil surface and penetrate down and not be, you know, lost to evaporation as well is a big thing. And I've seen a lot of times that sometimes their irrigation systems or designs are maybe a little under underdeveloped, I guess, if you will, to adequately water trees and turf grass.
Right.
You know, sometimes I kind of just think, well, if I'm just going to water the lawn, that should be enough water for the trees itself. Yeah, exactly, which doesn't tell us anything on there. But it's also a good thing to, you know, pull out that hose into your garden and add some supplemental water around the tree.
Yes. And make sure you're doing it around the canopy. And I like the tools, and I'm not even, can't even think off the top of my head what we call them, but they have a long spike and they're used for fertilizer, but you can hook your hose up and push those down into the soil.
Root feeder type.
Yeah, thank you. The big word there, root feeders. And they go down and because, you know, your grass isn't going to, an inch or 6 inches even isn't going to help your trees. You've got to go down to the to the level of where the roots are. So that does make a big difference. And though, any moisture is going to help, it's nothing like that deep watering.
Right. And also you're poking a hole, so it helps aerate.
You're aerating as well.
Right. So you're doing both, yeah.
I've had that done just recently for the first time in forever, and it has made a huge difference. That aeration is worth it. And so get your old-fashioned golf cleats on and walk around your grass, I guess, or
your golf cleats, stilts. You need that a little bit longer than
your long spikes.
Right.
or use that root feeder and use it and go around and poke holes and get rid of your frustrations, I guess. It's another way of getting therapy when we garden. So.
Exactly.
But it does make a big difference in your yard.
Oh, yeah.
And I think
it helps keep that microbial population going, too, because you're getting water and air down into that deeper layer so that you get more microbial
benefit from that aeration. So I found that really was helpful. So
yeah, that compaction is always an issue in gardens that have, you know, actually matured and you've had, you know, things kind of leaf litter, everything else kind of come on there with that organic layer as well.
If you got kiddos that are, you know, you're using a lot of reason, that's the reason that's the reason that folks do have have that grass so they can have a place for their kids to play or their grandchildren to play.
Right.
And it does get beat down.
And turf needs time to recover. And I know there's always that challenge, especially in large city parks. And that now that people are spending a lot of time outside and there's, you know, outdoor sports, recreation out there, there is a reason why the turf areas
Where's
need
them?
To be.
Sure.
It may not be optimum all the time, but it's because that trampling, that compaction does take a toll on that.
It does make a difference.
It also takes a toll on the heat, not just on our mature plants in the garden, but are also some newly planted plants that you have in the garden as well. And, you know, by able to take them and establish them, especially you want to make sure you take extra care and water them. And, you know, I was taking a little extra care on one particular plant. I got globe mallow from you, John, at the plant sale, and I was just loving it too much, and I thought, oh my goodness, it's so hot in my backyard, I need to put some water on, and automatically that globe mallow started turning those yellow leaves, and I started getting some leaf drops. I go, I know, this guy's tough. Got to pull back some of that water.
Yes.
And that's just
with
it'll come back and pull back the water, and it's back to blooming. So definitely it's always introducing the new plants and getting to know exactly what that little microclimate is in your yard, as well as the new species that you're incorporating.
I think that's a big challenge for people that, you know, and you're a horticulturist, so you know those things, but sometimes it's hard to tell the signs. You know, you think, oh, there's leaf drop and it's yellow, so I got to add more water and more water. And lots of times, you know, we'll kill something from overwatering before we would from underwatering. But it is important to put the correct amount of water on a new plant. And I did my Tacoma stands and planted that, and it's doing very well. But I'm not going to put as much water on that as I would a newly planted petunia, perhaps.
Right.
But so you have to get to know your plants, but they still need water, you know, at the beginning.
Well, there's the hardest thing is trying to tell people when to water, because every site's different.
It makes a big difference in your microclimate.
You just
got to
get out and do the old trial and error. You know, go out and check it. And if it's dry, water it. If it's wet, don't water it.
Exactly.
Well, and I think avoid that. You know, everybody looks at the top, especially if you're doing, if you have containers. And you think, oh, this is dry, dry, dry. But if you do the old pencil trick or use your water meter and you go down, you're going to be surprised at how wet it is. Geraniums is a great example.
Right.
Because they don't like wet feet. They're a semi-succulent, and so I think we kill a lot of them. And, of course, they're not real crazy about the heat either, so put them under some shade and watch your watering patterns with them.
I always like to tell people, well, when was it wilting? Is it at 2 o'clock in the afternoon? Well, I'm wilting it too. I'm wilting too. So that midday heat on there, midday wilt is perfectly fine. Mm-hmm. A lot of times the plants will just bounce back that following morning.
Evening.
Now in the morning time, if you have wilting issues, then we know you have a water situation.
One
on
plant
there
that does that a lot is very, and I think it's like us. They, you know, they fold their leaves then to protect themselves. And Turk's cap does that a lot. It gets very large, but I don't care if you've had your sprinklers on and everything's set perfectly with your irrigation system, came on that morning, by 2 o'clock in the afternoon, it's going to be protecting itself. And at 7 o'clock at night, it's perked right up.
Yeah, and that's over the overall growth habit of that, too.
It is.
Even when it's well-watered, it's still a little...
It looks a little weepy.
Yeah, it does, right?
But it blooms all summer, so it's one of my favorites.
Well, we don't want anybody to be weepy out there, but when you're out taking out of the garden itself, make sure you take care of yourself as well.
Absolutely.
And,
you know, those of you that know me, I'm very fair-skinned and redheaded, and so I buy sunscreen in a 50-gallon drum because I just really need to, and it needs to be a daily habit. And don't just apply it once. You need to reapply during the day. Wear your hat. Wear your sunglasses. And make sure, of course, to drink plenty of water when you're out there working in the garden, regardless of how hot it is. But more hydration when the temperatures are up to 102.
Wonderful. And those are great tips for not just yourself, but also for your garden. And we really hope that you enjoy today's show. We're almost out of time. But if you have any questions, please call the Master Gardener Help Desk at 771-2354. We want to thank you for listening and thank Lauren Terrazas for engineering and producing today's show. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
I'm John White.
And I'm Jan Petterzelka.
And remember, a gardener shadow is the best way to keep your garden
good to grow.